Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Unless everybody pulls together and gets the level way down of a baseline, we're going to continue to see these kind of increases that Dr. Birx was talking about in several of those cities. That's what I mean by smoldering. You've got to get that baseline down, and everybody on this group, everybody on the team of American citizens need to pull together.
Let's talk more about that.
Because we're all in this together. There's such divisiveness right now in this country, John. I mean, I can't explain it except to say the kinds of things that you see in society. We have a lot of outlier people that do things that are almost inexplicable, where the pushback against science is in a way that gets translated into threats to me, my daughters, my wife. I mean, that is completely crazy. It really makes you shake your head and wonder about some elements in society.
All right, that's Dr. Anthony Fauci. Death threats, you either love him or hate him. He seems to be now all of a sudden a polarizing figure. And in that interview, you heard him talking about that obviously there. And his concern is the concern about let's stop the spread. Where's the baseline? Let's smash it. It's about flattening the curve. It really is. It's the same terms we heard in the very beginning of this. So welcome to the beginning of this hour. Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us on our ship. 159,000 people have died in the United States, 4.88 million confirmed cases. In the overall global aspect of this worldwide, 712,000 people have died, 19 million confirmed cases. That's where we're at with all this. There's some good innovation. People are really reimagining, rebooting, doing the things that, you know, I talk about. And that's it. I mean, we know we live under this question mark, and the uncertainty is really tough. Tough for a lot of people who haven't lived with uncertainty. I mean, we all do, but you just don't think you do, right? I mean, if I were to ask and poll this audience on how many of you are control freaks, I bet you anything, it'd be like 80% at least. Somewhere around there. Anyway, the forecast is by December 1st, the way we're going right now with COVID-19, what the health experts are saying. I'll go with this one because it may be different from place to place, a little bit different. But the University of Washington, what they're forecasting is 300,000 Americans could be dead from COVID by December 1st. So some people are criticizing that number. Some people are saying that it's probably accurate, depending on the hot spots and the eruptions of cases and all of that. I mean, of course, you know, you look at the epicenters, the infections were falling in the former epicenters of Arizona, California, Florida, Texas. But of course, now they're rising in Colorado, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Virginia. And, we even had Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, the Republican governor who's going to meet the president on the tarmac in Cleveland, couldn't do it because he tested positive for the virus ahead of the planned meeting with Donald Trump. But he hadn't had any symptoms of the illness. And then later, earlier in the evening, he tested negative. So that's also part of what the deal is here. So it's interesting. The outbreak, of course, centered around the really densely populated areas in the beginning of this thing, like New York City and the West Coast, too, especially. But what Fauci is saying, the nation's top infectious disease official, love him or hate him, is it's a predictor of trouble ahead, is what he's saying, and agrees with Dr. Birx and what she's identified. So, I mean, here's the bottom line. The people who are in the health side of this, why are they targets? I guess I'm answering my own question because none of us want this. We don't want this. So, you know, kill the messenger. And and that's too bad, because remember the saying is, don't kill the messenger whenever they're delivering something that you don't want to hear, negative news. And personally for me, as much transparency as I can get, I want transparency, good, bad, and the ugly. Just serve it up to us so we know exactly where we stand. And obviously, that can change. There's nothing really super hardcore about it. But I'll tell you what, New York is being hardcore about it. He had a couple of dozen travelers that got off from a train from Miami at Penn Station on Thursday in New York City. And there was a team of public health workers there. And they handed them flyers about the new COVID-19 quarantine rules. And they're checking people in all areas where they're coming in to make sure that visitors from any of the 35 states on their travel advisory know, oh, no, don't think you're walking around our city. we're shutting you down. So one of the guys that got off the train said he wasn't aware of the quarantine when he boarded. but he's got to do what he's got to do. You got to do what you got to do. Or you got to get out of here. And they're screening it. They're talking about screening at Penn Station, too. And then there are checks of cars at tunnels and bridge crossings, and they're going to look for all kinds of ways to stop people. And if you come in from a designated state, it could be a $2,000 fine, and they're going to really stick to that. And even worse, maybe up to $10,000, right? And I'll tell you how easy it is not to know that. I feel like very informed, obviously, with what I'm doing here and checking constantly. And for some reason, and it had just happened that day, I looked at a quick getaway to just get out of Texas, take a break, go to a mountainous area, right? Look at some beauty, get a few hikes in maybe, right? Eat like a couple Cheetos and then walk it off. So I looked at New Mexico, and by the way, there are mountains there. I looked at New Mexico and thought, well, it's easy to slip into Santa Fe. Governor wants nothing to do with people from Texas, so it was on the list. And if you had gone like the person did on the train, then you have to do the quarantine thing, and you're stuck. So very wise to check before you decide to just jump out on that, because I think that's going to happen more and more. I mean, look what's happening in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, what they're saying is, if you decide you're going to have one of these parties, because people are just, they don't care. They're having, I mean, big parties. It's not like, oh, there's 20 people over here, social distancing, we promise, on the beach. No, I mean, you know, hundreds of people at these parties, and they're not doing any of that. They're standing close together, and it's worrisome because of what's happening and how that's increasing cases or has the potential to do that. So the mayor of Los Angeles is going to just shut them down. We're shutting off your water, and we're shutting off your power. So if we see a party, there's no questions. We're just going to do that. We're just going to shut you down. So no questions asked. There's nothing you can tell us. It's a wedding. It's a birthday. It's a whatever. Hey, we're all missing those celebrations. I mean, it's really true. If you think of your fellow man, you have to be aware. You have to be aware of what happens when you decide to have 600 of your closest friends come out to your house, and then they tweet it and post it everywhere so everybody knows what's happening. One county in California has a different tactic. They're actually offering up some cash to help COVID-19 patients during the quarantine. How much? We're talking about it next.
Are you a business owner that needs a large supply of face masks?
Do you have a large family and need a large supply of face masks?
And want high quality but not high prices? Then you want sunny-bay.com.
Our face masks are a better quality than Costco and lower price than Amazon.
There's none better than sunny-bay.com.
See for yourself. Go to sunny-bay.com and place your order today.
Again, business owners, large families, and anyone who needs a large supply of quality quality disposable face masks. Click sunny-bay.com.
Be sure and look for our volume discounts.
Our high-quality cloth face masks are handmade in the USA.
We also have N95 masks.
See our quality, get details, and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company.
Remember, volume discounts for large quantities at sunny-bay.com.
Just click sunny-bay.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
TikTok, by the way. TikTok, the clock is counting down the days before the election, the beginning of November. What day is that? That's a quiz. Think about it. What day is election day? It's emblazoned on my brain from the time I was a kid. That was one thing. I think I've talked about that on this show. That we know, no matter what, you got to know what's going on. So, of course, November 3rd. So we're getting closer. We really are. And with that, the polls are saying all kinds of different things, including that the president may be closer to getting reelected than some people think. There was a big deal about a CNN analyst looking at the president and saying he was within striking distance of Joe Biden, because you hear that the polls have sunk him and he's slow in the polls because of the coronavirus, because of the economy, because of what's happening with the racial strife and trying to figure out the police injustices, and then also take the police who are not corrupt, who are not going after minorities, etc., and making sure you have some sort of balance. How do you figure this out in all these suburbs and all these communities? And it's different in every single community. Bottom line, that's all part of the package of the problems, the things that are happening in this country that a president would have to deal with, no matter who, right? So a CNN senior political analyst said that he thinks he is within striking distance. And the analyst, Harry Enten, said that Biden had the upper hand in national and battleground state polls from May to July. And while he has that advantage, Trump has one thing going for him. His position isn't deteriorating any longer. If you look at the polls, they show that even as the coronavirus cases and deaths rise, that he still is within striking distance of Biden. An Iowa poll that came out on Wednesday from Monmouth University makes that point, saying that Trump comes in with 48% to Biden's 45%. Remember, this president won Iowa by more than 9 points in 2016. So that equates to a 6-point swing toward Biden from the 2016 results, which is so interesting. Like, you know, it goes to that thing again of don't think it's over. Just because you're seeing and watching as things are happening in the country or that are deteriorating, November 3rd is still a very, very big day. This election is huge, needless to say. And then, of course, Joe Biden just puts more fuel, you know, adds some more fuel on that fire by getting nailed for a comment that he made where he said that he was on a virtual conference hosted by a black journalism organization. And during that, he said that the Latino community was incredibly diverse, unlike the African-American community. And he talked about the diversity that he experienced and all of that, and talked about the black community being a monolith. So then he had to walk that back. And the president and his people, of course, are going to jump all over that. And when he was trying to walk it back, he talked about, you know, I mean full diversity, unlike the African-American community and many other communities. You're from everywhere. So what he was trying to say is, listen, the Latino communities, it's different whether you're talking about coming from Mexico, whether you're talking about South America, Central America. I mean, he should have just spelled it out, I guess, different backgrounds from, again, where somebody's from. But it blew up. Let's just say that. It just blew up. And it's all part of what is this election. I mean, Twitter is part of the story in this election. It wasn't the last election. But I think even more, it really hangs out there. It really, really does. All right, I said that I was going to also, so who knows who hears Hail to the Chief. I hear it in my dreams. Oh, is it election day already? Alameda County is offering $12.50 a stipend to help the patients who get COVID-19 during the quarantine. So it's just this new thing they launched, and they're hoping that to slow the spread of it by helping families that have a sudden financial crisis when a test comes back positive. And it's supposedly helping with the rent, access to health care, you know, whatever it helps them with, because they have to self-isolate after a positive test, and the stipend is for people who didn't get unemployment benefits or sick leave, and it requires a referral from one of the 5 approved clinics. But bravo to them. They set aside, I guess, $10 million for the project, which could cover 7,500, well, would cover 7,500 stipends. So if they find themselves, because their testing rate, their positivity rate at the clinics is about 28%, so it shows that there's a need. So, yay. I think it's smart. Why not help? And maybe it helps slow the spread because of what that creates once somebody tests positive, and then where do they go from there, right? Yeah. And it's tough. It's tough when you're not expecting it. Yeah, and who's expecting it? But let's be honest, there are so many people that are just, when they look at it, they just feel invincible, and I get it. This is an SOB that is unlike anything I've seen, right? Where you talk about viruses and fighting fighting viruses and coming down with a horrible case of the flu, but then you multiply what we've heard from so many about this. You know, we talk a lot about education because there's all of these arguments about going back to school and what about the teachers and how vulnerable are they and what about the students? And then people are sending out pictures of students who are not social distancing. They're crammed in the hallways. They don't have masks on. And with schools beginning to open, a lot of parents are almost schizophrenic about what do we do? What do we do where this is a new phase and we're stuck? And I mean, we're stuck with making these decisions, and in some places they're allowing people to, kids, to make their own mind up with their parents, I'm sure, whether they go back for 6 weeks and then see what happens, or they go online for 6 weeks and see what happens. And, you know, the reality is it's not just an urban problem, by the way. It's a problem across the board, even in suburban areas, rural areas, you know, kids in schools and people coming together and having different ways of isolating or not isolating. It's so critical that these outbreaks that they're finding get reported, number one. But in the middle of this health crisis, you have teachers that really don't want to go back, don't want to be in this situation. So it's interesting because coming up, we're going to talk to Lee Cease, and he was a superintendent of a big district in the South, and he wrote a book about his experiences in first stepping out into education and what that was like and what you can take away from what he learned, but what happened to him during that process. And pretty fascinating stuff. And then T.A. Blitch is stopping by. He's fascinating. Boy, his family background is incredible. And we were just talking about, he went to Charleston, and he said it's the first time he saw Charleston where it was actually like a kind of a ghost town. It just was unusual that he didn't see very many people there. And he dug into the life of his father and, of course, his grandfather, too. And, you know, he looked at what he did as a World War II U.S. Navy dive bomber, and he was a hero, the Rear Admiral John Blitch. And just extraordinary to see the things that happened then and what's happening now. So stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side, and I'll meet you there.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The day after President Donald Trump's election in November of 2016, the American Civil Liberties Union posted a message to him on their website saying, "See you in court."
the president hasn't personally squared off against the ACLU from the witness stand, but the broader warning has happened. As of this week, the ACLU has filed nearly 400 lawsuits and other legal actions against the Trump administration. It prevailed in a U.S. Supreme Court case blocking the administration from placing citizenship questions on the 2020 census. It also spearheaded legal efforts that curtailed the policy of separating many migrant children from their parents. Of the lawsuits, 174 have dealt with immigrant rights, targeting the family separation policy, detention and deportation practices, and the administration's repeated attempts to make it harder to seek asylum at the U.S.-Mexican border. This is USA Radio News. The coronavirus continues worldwide as South Africa is reporting more than 8,300 new confirmed coronavirus cases as the country with the world's fifth largest caseload is now approaching 10,000 deaths. The new health ministry figures push the total cases in the African continent past the 1 million mark. South Africa's COVID-19 deaths are now at 9,298, with more than 400 additional deaths reported in the last 2 days. Montana Governor Steve Bullock says counties will be permitted to hold all-mail voting in November as a way to limit the spread of coronavirus. The Montana Association of Clerks and Recorders and the Montana Association of Counties urged the governor last month to allow that option. Republicans criticized the Democratic governor's orders, saying voters should have the right to go to the polling places if that's how they choose to cast their ballots. A GOP official said if Montanans are safely able to go to the grocery store and protest, they should be able to safely go to their polling location to vote on Election Day. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Author's Corner. He's in our virtual green room, and I had just an incredible conversation with Lee Cease off the air. I mean, I think we might have talked for an hour. We probably could have talked all day long. I mean, this guy has been a career educator along with his wife, and he has such an interesting story to share. And his book, Holy Crap, Is Anyone Thinking About the Children? The Lifelong Journey of an Educator from Student to Superintendent. I mean, really, the life of a teacher and an educator. Lee, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, happy to do it. Looking forward to it.
So let's talk about the very beginnings. People can relate to this. You know, you're wet behind the ears, you got the degree, you're ready to roll, and what happens to you and then the woman who later became your wife in the beginning of this journey?
Okay, well, I'd say the journey, let me back up just a little bit. The journey began as my wife was finishing her undergraduate degree, and I ended up in graduate school, which led me to a teaching job in a neighboring town, Lancaster, South Carolina, in a special education class. Now, at that time, there were no federal laws regulating special education. Special education was just simply that, for kids who did not fit the regular mainstream classroom. I did not have prior teaching experience. I wasn't a well-trained teacher. I had a degree in special education. My wife, on the other hand, had spent 4 years training to be a teacher, so she was the better teacher of the two of us. I was the door to open for us to get into teaching. So we started off as teen teachers, and as I said, in Lancaster, South Carolina, in a high school class. that was supposed to be special education. I would say at this point, the kids in that program were not kids with disabilities. They were kids who had lacked the opportunity to learn, either due to poor instruction, poor opportunity, or whatever. It was just after integration, so most of our kids were African American, black as the term was used at that time, and we had 40 kids. And they had no skills, but there was nothing about them that you would say that they were disabled. They were quite intelligent kids. They were quite athletic, many of them. In the long run, they taught us more about life than I think we ever taught them about academics.
So you were shocked by what you encountered because of what you just described. That's not what you expected with special education. So as, you know, we talk about now what's happening in the world, as two white young educators and in this situation, how did that go? And how did you, you know, sort of break the ice and get them to trust you?
Well, we were not that much older than them. And so we began focusing on relationships. The idea that we were going to change their reading level to any significant degree, or math or any of the basic skills, was that just was not going to happen. They had already lost interest in those skills. And so we concentrated on developing personal skills with them. And we listened to them. They listened to us. And it just kind of became a big brother, little brother, big sister, little sister relationship. And that's kind of the way it went throughout the course of the year. Now, we did do instruction, but the instruction was secondary to being able to develop a relationship that we could trust each other. And I think over the long run, we did that well. I think I told you the story about Pokey earlier. Pokey was this... I looked on my roster, and I noticed that there was this child's name. I don't remember the name, the given name. And I asked the kids, where is this girl? She hasn't been here. And they said, oh, that's Pokey. She doesn't show up until like 2 weeks after school starts. And about 2 or 3 weeks after school started, this young woman showed up in my class, and she was a very large woman. Now, I was 6'2 and 200 pounds at the time, and she was much bigger than me. I looked at her, I said, well, you must be Pokey. And she walked over to me and lifted me up underneath my shoulders, underneath my armpits, and lifted me up against the wall and said, I am, and what be your name? And I said, well, Pokey, I'm Mr. Cease, I'm your teacher. Now, Mr. Cease, you're not going to give me any blank, 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 are you? I said, no, Pokey, I'm not going to give you any blank, blank, blank. And from that point on, Pokey was my bodyguard, and Pokey was my wife's bodyguard. If anybody did anything, threatened Anna in any way, Pokey was on them. When I had bus duty, Pokey said, well, I'll go with you, Mr. Steve. I'll take care of those kids. And so that was kind of the relationship that we developed. It was one of, it was a relationship of non-threatening. It was a relationship that we did not establish ourselves as, I'm the boss, you need to listen to me. I'm here. I want to help. And that's kind of how that relationship developed.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say relationships, and that's so important. In the book, you talk about that relationships, you know, are surrounded by deception, fear, and control. Failure looms. That's one of the things that you say. And in the title, I said that life is really the teacher. What do you want people to take away from reading your book and your experiences?
Oh, there are several things that I'd want people to take away. I'd like for people to look at the developmental stages of human development. I won't say child development, because as humans, as adults, we begin as children, but we become who we are. And so I try to talk about all the stages of development that we all go through. The second thing that I would want people to pull out is the importance of relationships. Relationships, whether good or bad, affect who we are and who we become. And it's very important to try to nurture those relationships that are important to us and those relationships that support us. And it's very important to deal with those relationships that are not so helpful. to be honest in those relationships and to, you know, get any conflict up front in the open. And finally, I think I try to talk about how to organize services, for children or services in general so that they are effective and productive and efficient.
Yeah, wow. So those are all wonderful, wonderful takeaways. For you, trying to summarize your life and the stories that you learned and what you wanted to share in this book, what was that journey like putting this together?
It's summarized my life. Is that what you said? Or
yeah, yeah. Summarizing your life in a sense and talking about self-examination and all of that. What was it like putting that together in the book?
Well, you know, I'd have to say that that's a hard question because if I was going to summarize it, I'd start off it saying that I wasn't a very confident person. I wasn't a very confident student. I wasn't a very confident young adult, and that certain people interacted with me and affected a change. And that I began to develop my own confidence. And as I developed my confidence as a worthy human being, then I was capable of reaching out and touching others. And I was capable of reaching out and touching others, as I said earlier, those who had positive impacts upon me and those who had not so positive impacts upon me. And I was able to deal with all those relationships, and I tried to always deal with those relationships upfront and honest. But that was a growth process. If a 22-year-old Lisease could not have done that, a 30-year-old Lisease was doing it better. A 45 and 50-year-old Lisease was doing it effectively. And so, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but that's.
It does.
Go ahead.
It does. It does. I think there you go again. Life is really the teacher, and that's exactly what you're teaching us. For people that are listening to this interview, that's what you're saying. The folly of youth and not having that experience and not having that confidence, and then people believing in you or mentoring you and showing you more and more and more, and that growth just continues to take off, of course, as you grow older because you're developing those relationships, and I think that is so key. Hey, last one. Did you have fun doing this? Do you have fun sharing your stories?
Yes, I'd say that's a good one. Again, I have to qualify my answer. When I started writing this, it was more cathartic because I finished my career not on a very high note. I finished my career by not being renewed as a superintendent. Basically, I was fired. And so that's a blow. And I had to figure out how to get myself back together. And in order to get myself back together, I decided to start writing essays. And the essays were, I was not writing these essays for the purpose of publishing them. It was almost like a journal. And as I was writing these essays, I began to realize I'm telling a story. And so then I decided to put those essays together into a story. And if you look at the book, I even talk about the book itself as an essay. It's an exploration that I am doing of my past experience and of what I went through. And how do I put my experience in a place that makes me a better person?
Oof. That's well said. We got to end it on that. That's perfect what you just said. How do you do that? Lisease, pick up this book. I don't want to give everything away. Holy crap, is anyone thinking about the children? The lifelong journey of an educator from student to superintendent. Life is really the teacher. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
As the coronavirus
coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, is called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Excited to welcome to the show T.A. Blitch. He's written a book called Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be. Think romance, historical novel, and the story behind this story is so fascinating. I honestly think if T.A. and I went out to lunch, we'd be at lunch through dinner because he is so fascinating, and how he pulled this book together is incredibly interesting. So, T.A., thanks for coming on and sharing your story, and let's talk about the book. How did this, first of all, how did you come up with this story, and how did it turn out to be a romance slash historical novel?
Hi, Kate. It's great to be with you this afternoon, and thanks for having me. I started the book about 5 years ago as a biography about my father, who was a dive bomb pilot in World War II, retired as a rear admiral, and he was in just about every major battle that there was in the Pacific. And he has many stories that I wanted to pass along, and plus the family has a rich history in of itself in the Charleston area, so I wanted to bring that into the story. But writing the biography, the nonfiction, was a lot like writing an encyclopedia, which is just not my thing. And plus I would only end up with about 20 pages of facts and footnotes and bibliographies and things like that. So what I wanted to do was to bring in all the experiences, which were very fascinating, but make them into a story that people could understand. And also I wanted them to understand what it was like coming back home after World War II and there's complete devastation, and what it was like dealing with the technology that was emerging in the late 40s and early 50s, and really get them a feel for what it was like during that time.
Yeah, let's talk about the main character who's so fascinating, and you mentioned that in trying to pull this together and why it turned into this historical romance novel, because it is based on Rear Admiral John Blitch, Jackson Pop Harrison. I mean, this guy has an incredible record. If you just looked him up, and for everybody listening, you could find things out about him. And like you said, him returning to his home, returning to South Carolina, and then what is that like for him, and how he goes through trying to adapt is so fascinating. But this guy was really an intense guy who was well-respected, right?
Well, not only was he intense, but he was a great father, a great leader. And in fact, when I talk on Facebook or through other social media about the book, I've had a lot of old friends from my childhood, you know, come back to me and said that I really admire your father. He was a great manager of our little league team. He taught me how to hit a curveball and things like that. And I didn't realize the impact that he had on other kids my age, but he was a great father. And he wasn't intense in the respect that, you know, that he was, bearing down all the time. No. Yeah. You know, he was a great guy, a great leader. And like I mentioned in the book, he was always there encouraging, helping, doing what he could for other people. And, I just wanted to, you know, bring this out and make a tribute to him, because otherwise he'll get, lost in history. But he had such a tremendous impact on my life and others' lives too.
Yeah, and again, the name of the book is Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be, and we're talking to T.A. Blitch. He's the writer, and he wrapped up his family's story, in a sense, of course, with this romance part of it. So how do you do the romance? How did you come up with some of these stories? That had to be so interesting for you.
Well, a lot of that, admittedly, is fabricated. And one thing I always had to keep in mind was to keep the reputation of my father intact. So even though he ran into some obstacles and twists and turns and things that a romance novel will go through, I had to make sure that, like I said, his reputation was intact and he didn't do anything maybe unsavory or unbecoming, because when I see him again in heaven, I know he's going to have a chat with me about this. So I got to make sure, you know, that I keep him square with this. But the romance part was to not only make it more interesting and entertaining, but there's a lot of psychological input that I had into this, and the relationships, and how people feel about each other, and how relationships strengthen and how they weaken, the challenges, and you know, jealousies and emotions and things like that. Not only are fantasy, so to speak, for the book, but also occur in real life. And I wanted to bring that into it and get people to think about how people interact with each other. So nothing is in there by chance or by fluff. There's a purpose behind everything in the book.
Oh, I like that. Nothing by chance or fluff. And you can tell, because when you read it, it is so, so well written. For you, was it fun to do this, to have to kind of maneuver and pivot and come up with some different ideas than what you were originally even thinking?
It became a central part of my life when the core of the book was being written. And every single waking moment, I was thinking how characters were going to interact with each other, how the storyline was going to work. And not only did I have to deal with practicalities like you know, that how people were growing up and they were aging and they were learning and things like that. But I had to also fit it the best that I could into the timeline of history. And I couldn't have World War II, for instance, ending in 1956, you know, ending in 1945. And so there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle that just had to fit together. So there's a lot of maneuvering initially. And actually, I drew out a timeline. And I said, okay, well, I know this guy was born here, this guy died here, World War II was here, this battle was there, and I had them have everything fit together. So it was a bit of a challenge in that respect.
Yeah, kind of like a puzzle. I'm going to say you have a way with words, and you have a way with putting the puzzle together. That's what it felt like to me, like you're taking us on this journey. So that's a compliment to you, because I got lost in the book so much so that I rearranged something I was doing that day because I had to finish. So I got to finish this.
That's great.
I got to finish it. I can't do what else I was going to do. And again, the name of the book is Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be, and we're speaking with T.A. Blitch. And T.A., what do you really hope that people take away from reading your book?
Well, and not only what it was like to live in the 1940s and 50s, because that's a couple generations ago. But really what I wanted to get people to think about is to cherish your elder ones, cherish the ones that are still alive, and ask them what it was like to grow up. Okay, you grew up on a farm in Minnesota at the, you know, in the 1950s or in the 1940s. You didn't have heat. What was it like during the wintertime? What was it like growing up on, you know, on a farm in South Carolina? What was it like? And, you know, ask these questions, because as each generation passes, this knowledge and those experiences go with them. And unless you learn about that and the important things that happened in your family, they're going to be lost forever. And so it's really important to find this out. And every morning I wake up and I kick myself for not asking my dad more questions. And all the questions that I have now could have easily been answered, but now I have to do the painstaking research to find them out. And there's so many things that, you know, will never be answered, because I don't even know they existed and can't even ask the questions. But, you know, there are family members, you know, that I didn't know about, and I discovered their lives and what things were like for them. And it's been fascinating research, but it could have been in my fingertips, and I let that go because, you know, when you're young, you're just, I guess, not interested in that stuff. But that's what I'd like people to take away, is that find out everything you can about your family. And it's so important, because you'll wish you did later.
Yeah, boy, that is so true, and that's powerful that you said that, because look at what you've discovered, look what you were able to do with what you did know, and it is frustrating when you go down these turns that now you wish you knew this, and there's family members you never knew existed. Well, this book is just beautifully written, and the story is wonderful, and there's, you know, you're going to get lost in the story, and I think that's so big, that's so much a part of this for sure. T.A. Blitch, you can get the book on BNN or Amazon or wherever great books are sold. Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be. Pick it up. It's really, really good. Thanks, T.A.
Okay, thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.